Good morning, I'm Sue. Very grateful member of the Al-Anon family groups. Today I love an alcoholic. I love a lot of alcoholics. And the program this year was good. Before I start sharing, I'm going to share for a while and then I'm going to call on you. I want to thank everybody. The decorations were great. The buffet Friday night was great. The goodie table was great. The dorms were decorated beautiful. It's been an awesome weekend. Everybody on the program shared about God. The whole program seemed to be focused on you have to have a God in your life. Entertainment was okay. Next year, whose inventory are you going to take? I know, that's why I asked. Check out, see who's naughty or nice for the whole year. So you don't know who's watching you. So, anyway, and we appreciate everyone that had to drive for a distance to get here. And we really appreciate all the people that had to fly in to share on the program. It's a real commitment to get on the airplanes and go the airline schedules. And ship them. Gina left early this morning. And they had tons of gratitude for being able to be part of this weekend. And you know, Mick loves us. Pathfinder Ranch loves us. But everybody always gets to see your good side. Yeah. You're always good out in public. Yeah. And we appreciate that. Yeah. But we get to see all the behind the scenes things. And anyway, I was reading my books this morning and I loved the One Day at a Time page that talked about, you know, being responsible for our own recovery and our relationship with our God. You know, and to be sure and talk about our problems and stuff with our sponsors before we ever get to a meeting. So when we get to our meetings, to share our experience, strength, and hope. And I have tons of gratitude for the long-timers that were in my life that gave me what I stand on today. And I heard a lot of people share about writing this weekend. And I'm grateful for that because that's the key. And I told them the very beginning, the pencil and the paper you have for this program. And I ask the ladies that I sponsor when they get in a bad place to write, and they do. And that's where they get to look at themselves. And, I love the panel on overachievers. There was none on there. But that's who we are. But a lot of people talked about when they shared about how much potential they had, and that's why I loved Keith, because I always thought he had a lot of potential, and he did. And you know, he said this morning that Mick told him, you know, that Mick loves me, and he asked Keith, "You being good to her?" And I said, "Did you tell him yes? Did you tell him yes?" Because Keith and I love each other a lot, and our love's grown because of this program. And him and I are a team. We work together in recovery. And one of the neatest things about Keith that I love the most is his commitment to Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you're looking for a him or a her, if you put your program first, God's going to get somebody ready for you. You can't get somebody and make them be what you want them to be. Read your Al-Anon books. Or live with an active alcoholic. Because you can't make anybody do anything. And the gratitude I have today is that if I had been able to change Keith to be the person that I wanted him to be, I probably wouldn't even care about him today. Because he is who he is. And I love him for who he is. And if I'd been able to change him, I wouldn't I wouldn't have the man that I have today in my life. And so it's, acceptance is the answer for all our problems. No human power can relieve our alcoholism, but God could work through the problem. And gratitude that I have in my life today is that our whole family is involved in this program. We've gotten pictures this weekend off and on from Simone, and she had her Christmas dinner with the ladies that she sponsors and the committee that puts her woman's conference together. And they all, we talked to them, Simone, and they all yelled Merry Christmas. And there were 20 women there. 10 of them have over 20 women. There were two there with 8 years, and then the rest of them had between 10 and 15. That's the kind of longevity Simone has for sponsorship in her life, being in Italy for as long as she's been there. That means that she hasn't given up on the program, and she hasn't been. She hasn't quit working a program. She just started a Friday noon meeting. And it's a lunch meeting, and they meet in this restaurant. And she said it's really cool because they don't have to pay rent. They just meet there, and they get a booth. And she said it's really cool. They don't have to worry about insurance and paying rent and registering referral service or anything. She said it's a real Al-Anon meeting. And she enjoys it. Girls that meet her there for lunch every day in Europe, and they're all excited about it. And so our family has been committed, but it's because of where we came from that gave us the commitment to this program. Because if you've been to hell and back, you want a piece of heaven. And I believe heaven is what you need right now. You're more than hell right now, so you can walk on the path of the spiritual program right now and experience the good in my life. And it's our choices. And the gratitude that I have for my recovery today is the fact that I know that I'm a good person. I like who I am. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I feel good about me. And I enjoy me. And I'm the person I have the most fun with. I mean, I can think of something by myself and laugh out loud. And people say, you just really crack yourself up, don't you? And I can, you know. Just like it proves it for those that didn't hear the story, I asked the inmates to read a page out of One Day at a Time lesson too, and to cheer on them. And if they did that, they could keep the book. And so they're doing that in this one inmate. My self-acceptance. And she said, well, the thing I know about me is that I'm an overachiever. And I cracked up quite a bit. She did in there, isn't it? She looked at me with all the other inmates. And they weren't laughing. And so when I got up there, I said, you're an overachiever? You really believe that? And she said, oh, yeah. And I said, you're in prison. And I said, but I'm here too. Because I love alcoholics, and I am a true blue Al-Anon, and my problem is that I think alcoholics have tons of potential. And I said, so I'm here because I think you have potential, you think you're an overachiever, and we're all losers. So what's the self-deception and all of that? And the neat part is that the program, going through the steps and strong sponsorship, has taught me who I am. And going through the steps, getting to the sixth and the seventh step, teaches me who I can become. And to get rid of the old ideas and the old me. And to begin work on who I think my God wants me to be. And last Sunday I got to receive a fifth step from a newcomer. And she had about 10 people on her resentment list that had done stuff to other people. And I said, those aren't your resentments. Those are everybody else's resentments. Well, I don't like the way they treat other people. I said, well, scratch them. You're amends, leave them alone. stay away from them if you don't like the way they treat people. Don't become one of them. And that's what I see in Alma a lot. Is that somebody says, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. And a few minutes later, they're over there with them. And it's like, oh, she's going to be okay. I talked to her, she's going to be okay. No, she's not. And it's, we live in the now. Whatever is right now is right now. And we accept it right now. And if I can do that, have my body and my mind and my feet in the same place, I'll get it, isn't it? I don't have to worry about what if. And I can say those things right now. And it's practicing these principles and believing in a God and all my everything. And I love the way Chip shared about how he started his day and how he has to. And I love the fact that he said, I'm cutting back on me. I'm only going to 7 meetings a week. I hugged Chip after he shared, and I said, Chip, I love you so much, but you're undoubtedly the sickest son of a gun I know. Oh, Jesus. I'm glad Keith talks to him. But the neat part about Chip is he has the loyalty to Keith that I love. Say hi. If you have a loyalty to this program, and you act like you have a God in your life, and that you want this thing, I'll go to hell and back. But if you hang on to your old ideas, and you keep acting out old ideas, you can go to hell by yourself. Because I just can't do that. And it's very obvious to me that Chip has always tried to change. If he wasn't in Founders Day selling hot dogs and doing the things he does like that, it's amazing. I can't imagine what that man would do like that. By the same token, if I didn't do the things in this program that I do, I can't imagine. I know that I would have a bed at CIW, but I would be dead. Because I don't just get resentment. I take action. But the program has changed me to the point that I don't have to fight people, places, and things. I can walk. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of spiritual muscles to walk away from a lot of things. Money, property, and prestige. Mean nothing to us. And people Keith knows his comfort zone, and so does God. Well, I like to live with you, and I like for God to know your comfort zone. But I understand today the things I can do and the things that I can't. And I understand, you know, the thing that I am so grateful for in our family is that Joe talked about, he was over in Vegas, he got to help Keith and Simone with the girls and taking them around the circus, showing them the town. And that's right before I had surgery on my ankle and I couldn't go around with it. And that's the last time we've seen our daughter. That was a year ago, last April. It's been a year and a half. And we are so close to her in those little girls. You see, you do not have to see somebody physically every day in order to carry them in your heart and have a relationship with somebody. It's what I do with that relationship. And I got in a funk earlier last week, and I was missing them, and I started getting, you know, all the haven't seen him, and, you know, and all of that up here. And I went Christmas shopping for him. Once I got out of myself and I started doing something for them, I was fine. When I was concentrated on what I felt, and poor me, I was going downhill. But when I thought about them and I did something positive for them, it made me feel good. And that's what this program is about. And that's what this, the key to this program is giving it away and sponsorship. And if I always have a newcomer in my life, no matter how many people I sponsor, and I sponsor quite a few people, I have a lot of time, but I always have a newcomer. And I'm always doing a fifth step for somebody. And that's what keeps me alive and excited about life. Because if you've got time in this program and you're not sponsoring anybody, you're going to go down the chute big time. Because it's like being an ingrown man. And so I have tons and tons of gratitude that my sponsorship that I've had in my life would never tolerate me sitting on my ass and not talking to newcomers and not taking a newcomer through the steps. And it became a way of life. And I live like that on a regular basis. And I love it. I have friends all over the country, all over everywhere. And most of the time when I talk to people that I sponsor in other states, when we talk about what they're doing in sponsorship. What is it that they need to do? They say, what do I need to do? This is what's going on with the person that I sponsor. And I'm trying to help them. What am I leaving out? And we talk about the principles of sponsorship. And then we both have a good day. It's amazing how God works through people. God uses people to help other people. And you heard many people share this weekend, if you don't have a God in your life, you're not going to make it. No human power can relieve our alcoholism. We've got to support each other, but we can't fix each other. And if we reach out to a God of our own understanding, and your God's not my God, then we'll all be okay. And we can be supportive of each other. But without a God in our lives, there is nothing. And you can see the progressiveness. I see people going to meetings, and I can tell when people I sponsor cut back on their medication, and they're just going to meetings because the disease comes back immediately. And I'm so grateful. I don't live on that. I can't be the yo-yo anymore. That's called insanity. And so I have a lot of gratitude for the teachings that I had when I was young and what I give away, and I was told, give it away exactly the way you got it. And I do that on a regular basis. And I also do that with my daughter and with her granddaughter. You know, it's like that day that Simone went to school and she was talking to the teachers about Nicole. She was upset and frustrated, and when she got out in the car, I called her, and she said they wanted her to go to Saturday school, and probably I was going to have a fit, and we're going to Mount Street, and she's telling all this stuff. And I said, maybe Nicole needs to stay at home this weekend, and you guys can. And she went off, I'm not going to leave my kids behind. What? And 30 minutes later, she called and she said, Mama, I need to make amends to you. It's gone off on me. It wasn't you. And I said, I understand. It's okay. I love you. We all have bad days. And 30 minutes later, she calls back. She goes, Mama, I got to make amends to you. And I go, wait a minute, Mom, what are you doing? You already did this. She said, yeah, but when I went off on you, Nicole was in the car with me. And she heard me talking. She wasn't here when I made amends to you a while ago. And she said to me a while ago, you cannot talk to Granny like that. You need to call Granny and tell Granny you're sorry. These principles are being passed on for our grandchildren. And Nicole, the oldest one, is very buxom. And she was getting very self-conscious of it. And so Mom talked to me about that. And so I said, can I talk to Nicole? Nicole and I both like Lady Gaga. And so Nicole got on the phone and I said, Nicole, you feel bad about your chest. You have big boots. She goes, oh yeah, Granny, yuck. I go, no. No. You put your shoulders back and you stick your chest out because you got that from your granny. And we were born this way. And we're going to be proud to be who we are. She goes, all right, Granny. And they were in a restaurant a few days later. And this really big buxom lady walked in and Fabio said something. And Nicole goes, no, Papa. She was born that way. We pass these principles on the best way we can to the people we love. And it works. It works. If our attitude is in the right place and we are in God consciousness, nobody can hurt us. We can stand up, hold our chest back and our head up, and cow down to no one because we are who we are because God made only one of each one of us. If he had made two of each one of us would have been unnecessary. So be happy of who you are and want only the good for yourself. And I'm going to call on Keith now.
I'll call it Keith. Glad to be here. Glad that we enjoy our weekend. It's a good weekend. I think I felt good about it. And our guests and all that stuff, part of it. We've been doing it for a long time. We've been doing it here for a long time. And every Sunday morning, I have to go pay out with the Wrangler, Mick. And he says I'm his sponsor. And I said, but you don't use me. He said, so, if I had another sponsor, I wouldn't use him either. So, you're it. But every year I have to, I don't have to, I do. I know what's coming. I listen to him. I get a year's worth of stuff every morning, every Sunday morning. And he likes Andy. He loves Andy. And him bonded. The horse whisper, be careful. I mean, this is, it may look like Magic Valley, but it's really at night down the road. There's some pretty weird shit goes on. So don't come out here unprotected. There's some pretty weird people in Happy Hollow. Anyway, what has he said this morning? If it weren't for us and the way we live, he said this to me, Mick said this to me, we would be at the trial of Nuremberg. Whatever that is. Okay, that's, yeah, I gotta go now. But anyway, quite a guy, and has, you know, he grew up in a terribly dysfunctional family. He went to school, he went to college. Went to war. He'd come back. He was a Teamster organizer for several years, and on and on and on and on and on. And he said he almost every year he tells me about his almost drank story. He has every year he has an almost drank story. And this year he was going to go to Guatemala or somewhere and go fishing with one of the help here was from Guatemala or somewhere, but anyway, he had his money, he had sold his motorcycle, and he had this money stashed so that the people couldn't get it for child support. Anyway, he's going to take this money, and he started thinking and whatever, you know, he's going to have this drink. He's going to drink a Manhattan. And he thought it through. And he said, I said, no. And I just took that money, and I bought my girlfriend a horse trailer and a camper with the money instead of getting drunk. I said, you got off cheap, dude. Jesus. So, you know, he has his moments and his times, but I always sit and listen for about an hour, and he does his fifth step for the year, and he's brutally honest, and he tells me what he thinks of me, and he tells me what he thinks of you, and he listened. He said, there's some real pretty ladies over there. I said, yeah, right, we're lucky. And he says, some sick men over there, really sick. He said, that guy Chip. I said, man, I had nightmares last night about that guy. I said, me too. I've sponsored him like you. I've sponsored him for 20 years too, or 8, 15, something. And so we had some laughs, and it's good. And he put us on the book for next year. And so we're moving right along. And I really don't have a lot to say or anything other than just kind of repetitive. Sue pretty much said it all of why you were here and what we're supposed to get out of it. But this is put on by our home groups. It's, as the poster says, it's our gift to us. We do this so that we can start the Christmas holidays with some spiritual values that we can apply during the holidays, hopefully, and during other times. We try to sponge in as much as we can from the speakers and from the fellowship and this and that and the other. But like always, you won't know what you got until next week or next month or next year. You won't know what you got this weekend. You may think you know what you heard or what you got, or you may have a saying or what have you, but the strength that you get from this comes next week, next month, next year. When we need it, all of us have trials and tribulations that we're facing. We all do. All of us have hurdles to go over. The minute we walk out of this room, of all sorts, character defects, flourish in our lives, and irregardless of how much time we have, we have problems, for lack of anything else, problems. And with those problems, you have surrenders. There aren't surrenders. There's no other way. No other way. No other way. You can't dodge it. It's life. It's statistics. It's math. And it's spiritual. As you've heard by most of the speakers here, they had surrenders over periods of years and times and changes and geographical changes and what have you. And yet we come back to the moment and we're survivors. And for Joe and I to have a relationship that we had, there was a, I don't know how many year gap, 15, 18-year gap when he was with that gal down there and all those kind of things booming out. We would stay in contact here and there, but when I went to Vegas 5 years ago or a little less, I met him, and we hooked up, and it was very important. He helped me more than I helped him. I mean, he immediately renewed his commitment to me as a sponsor, but he helped me at a time when I was in a town with people I didn't know, and certainly in Vegas, which adds a little twist to it. And I really, at a time in my life when my health was bad, and I was facing a daily option of getting drugs daily. Physically, And when I went, Sue talked at the Naranon thing, I went to the convention with her, and Joe was there. And the minute I saw him, I was able to, latch on to something that had been, secondary, the program Narcotics Anonymous. I was mostly involved in Cocaine's Anonymous through the years that it was popular, and Narcotics Anonymous was there for me. And as the children of our group grew up, I didn't want these youngsters, sitting in Alateen meetings smoking weed. And most of them were going to use something, they're going to use drugs, and I didn't want them coming to our AA meetings and creating problems in our AA meetings. So we renewed, years ago, we renewed our Narcotics Anonymous meeting, DOA. And it's been going, and it's a narcotics, it's a registered Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And that was very powerful for me. It was an option that God, when I'm faced with a decision, God always gives me his option. I can have mine and yours and theirs, but there's a God option. And I'm really grateful that my God option was to throw myself more active in Narcotics Anonymous, because I just can't use anything. Certainly I have physical problems. I'm a diabetic. I have Hep C. And I chose to, rather than take the interferon, I chose to do nothing. And so it hasn't killed me yet. So I'm getting old enough that if it kills me, I'm ready. So it doesn't make any difference. But I went through a period of time with that, with my health and arthritis and my feet and all the things that go with it. I have congestive heart failure, and I should be dead when I go to the doctor. I mean, this is not morbid. I should be dead. And when we go to the doctor, he always tells Sue, you're going to outlive him because he should be dead. He should be dead right now. His blood pressure is off the chart right now in my office. He should be having a stroke right here. And we say, well, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. Nothing. Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that, because that's kind of what I was hoping for. And I want to go out on the natch. And it's been very important for Joe and I for that connection, because I refuse to get loaded. I'm not going to walk around here pilled up and have you know that I'm pilled up, and I'm going to act like I'm not. That's the greatest disgrace of it all. Of course, it's what the disease is. The disease is denial. So, we have addicts and alcoholics, and a lot of Al-Anons come to the program and they're on medication and what have you, and that comes up, and it's an issue. And we're not doctors. We're not doctors. I can't tell you what to do about that. But I will not let you affect this group. I do have that decision as the old-timer. If you're loaded, I will not let you have an effect on this group. And that's why Joe's here. He's back in my play. See? Because we're a group that's strong, strong, strong with our God as the answer. We go to God with these answers. And that's why we're small. But we're able to do that most of the time. And we won't let... Our houses, we've had houses. We was talking about that the other day. We've had men houses and women houses in this group for 30 years. And we're not known as a sober house or anything like that. It's a group house. And those houses have no med cabinets in them. Because if they did, I'd be in charge of them, and then I'd be loaded. I know that. Can't even go there. So I have a very, very strong commitment. I'm all in with this. I'm all in. And we come here to reinforce that. It's a time when we can gather up our innermost members of this group and understand one of the most important things, the most important thing about this weekend. Certainly we get God, certainly we get thanks, but you as a group of Al-Anons and alcoholics and addicts, you have a responsibility to your group to act like you're clean and sober, to act like you're sane. And when you see other people that are off the chart, you have an obligation to talk to them. I'm tired of this bullshit that you're here. I hear all the time that you're sitting around waiting for Sue and I to tell you what to do. Bullshit. I know the people in this group. The annual salary of the people in this group is above average. The jobs, the money coming in, the way you live, the lifestyle you live financially doesn't portray ignorance. It portrays strength with prosperity. And even the ones that are coming up, they're coming up are above average. We support you newcomers to get clean and sober, get a place to live, get guidance and direction, get a job, and pay your bills. Don't give me this crap that you're sitting back waiting for me and Sue to make your decision. That's an illusion, delusion. Because it's not true. Yes, there are situations. We have one. I'm going to use it as an example. Because it just happened this weekend. And this is a great example. We have Alateens. We have Alateens. We've had a long, long history with Alateens. And when they come up with all the stuff about Alateen, about background checks and what have you, we felt like that your Social Security number and your driver's license was not to be made public to a bunch of idiots. That's your personal information. And to get a proper background check, who's going to do it? Some idiot? And then you're going to give him your Social Security number and your driver's license so he can go plug it in and see if you're a whatever. So we said, no, we're going to call him young Al-Anons. And we did. And it worked. We have Robin Marie's son, who's 16 and a half. We have Tracy's daughter. And Paul and Tannis' son. I don't think there's any other teenagers over there, are they? Anyway, Sue and I pay attention to this. We pay attention to this. There's been problems in there because of these older children. There's been problems in there in Alateen because of these older children. And Rob and Tannis were running the thing. They both had children in there. And there's been problems. It may not be that big. It's a problem when a boy is bullying a little girl in an Alateen meeting. That's the problem. You're in our meeting. It's going to stop. Whatever it takes. And so we changed some things. And, you know, it isn't our, we don't rule the roost. They have rules. They made them themselves. The children made them themselves. And they have rules. They just have a problem enforcing them. Because the two parents of the older children are running the thing. Now that's complacency. That's complacency. Who else is going to do it? Oh, I don't know who else can do it. I don't know who wants to do it. We've got to have an alcoholic. Got to have an alcoholic. Oh, well, let's just leave them there because they're good. And they were good. And they are good. but their children were getting away with shit that shouldn't have been allowed to happen. And so we made changes. That's the decisions that Sue and I make for the betterment of the group. So this weekend, Reuben, who raised his son here, told me, you know, whenever these kids, when Justin was here, these kids, he took them down to Huntington Beach. They rolled up Justin, Bubba, and Raylene, that other guy's kids, and they trucked them down there to Huntington Beach to an older Alateen meeting. Okay, well, that was good then. I'm not too sure that meeting's that good now. Plus, I don't think the parents could make that commitment today. They can't even make a commitment to the AA part of their program, much less drive them down there. So, there's a solution. And when confronted with that solution, Rob came up to me last night and he said, you know, I heard what you were saying about the Alateens and this and that and the other. And he said to me, I'm his sponsor. He said to me, Maria and I are kind of at a standstill because Robbie's 16 and a half. He doesn't want to share anymore at the Saturday morning meeting as an Alateen. He doesn't really want to share there anymore. You know, that kid, I remember when I told, well, that kid was a little kid and he was jealous of Rob and I's relationship. And he bumped into me and I'm standing, he bumped into me intentionally. He bumped into me and then he fell. Like I pushed him down and made him fall. And I caught Rob. I said, he just did this. He's trying to cause trouble between you and I. I said, there's an evil streak in him. Boy, Rob didn't want to hear that. But it was sponsor information, observation. All children have it, and they go through it. And I think that Rob took that information and used it because he put effort into Robbie until Robbie could be Robert. And Robert is a good kid. He's still got that evil streak if you let him loose somewhere where he can pick up a pint or smoke a joint. But they, as parents, were good examples with that kid, raising him and bringing him up through Alateen. It wasn't just Alateen, the summer jobs and this and that. And the other. They had a good, a real good example of parenting. And Rob stayed over there in that Alateen meeting with both his boys. And now today, at 16 and a half, he's transitioning into a man. And they had, Rob had whatever it took to talk to me about, we don't really know. And I said, I have an answer. You take him out of Alateen. You know why I got that answer? Because I did it with my daughter. He's at an age. And you can take him out. And whatever he learned all these years, he can put it to use. And you allow him to grow up. He's junior. He'll have to go to Alateen if he wants to come to the Saturday morning meeting or the Saturday night meeting, fine, whatever. I'm not going to ask anything of him. He can come with you because you're his parent. But you let him grow up. I'm sure that's a fearful moment. But Rob said, I'll talk to Marie. And this morning, Rob told me they talked about it and they came to an agreement that Robbie needs to get out of that Alateen meeting. He needs to be a part of his school. He's got a lot of activities over there. He's got a lot. He's very regimented with his karate and his band and his school and his this and his that. And I said, let's give him a place in his life where he can make decisions. His friends, let him grow. Let him grow. Same thing that Scott and Virginia did. They moved away. They moved away because he had a good job. And I'll tell you what. That son of a bitch, I don't think he was ever going to be worth a shit working or anything. And I'm certainly not going to stand in the way. And Sue helped him get that job. And he got that job and he went on and went on. And there was a slot where he could moving. He's got a great job. Makes a lot of money. Takes care of his family and his kids. And had to go through the growth and the change of doing that. That story isn't to tell you to come in here tomorrow and leave the group. If you want to do it, go ahead. But I hope you heard the pain that they were in. Not everybody's got enough strength to do that. They were able to do it because they're two alcoholics and they were a team. They loved each other and they were a team. A team. Working together for the betterment and the sobriety of their home. That's a team. A mother and father that made a decision. It's time to take that kid out of there and let him grow up. That's teamwork. I didn't tell Rob, here's what to do, and say, go do it. I said, here's what I would do. There's what I did with Simone. And you can talk to Marie. He went and talked to Marie. And this morning he said, we talked about it and we made a decision. They're not sitting back waiting for me to make a decision. They've made good decisions to get him to 16 and a half. Now they ask me for my help because of what I did with Simone and what Sue and I did with Simone. It was a very distinct time in her life when she wouldn't share with Sue and I anymore. She was not a, and she had sponsor direction. She was not a Alateen anymore. She was an Al-Anon. They wanted her to talk. She talked as an Al-Anon. Grow up time. See? It's grow up time. And we have great examples here of people who can do that and are doing that. We have people here who are about to do that and don't know it. Kathy and Dave went through all that crap with Tony and little Miss Muffet. And people wonder why Kathy's so crazy. Well, look at the two kids she raised. That'll make you crazy. You know, and Dave stayed with her. He's not even the father. He's done a good job. And there's trials and tribulations in their relationship every day. Every day. We all have that. But we have the people in the group who have the experience that will help you. When Marie talked yesterday about her anorexia, that was a terrible time. I was Rob's sponsor. That was a terrible time. Marie was dying. She was dying. And what to do? Well, Sue went up to her and said, you know what? You're sick, whatever she said. But she said, if you die, some other woman's going to raise your boy. And that was enough for her to click and say, I need help. And she went through that period of time. I sent Rob to Jack Carpenter, who has a wife and gone through all those things and still is, and gave him some help. Other people gave him some help. Pete gave him some help. And they helped each other. And they're a team. Because they went through those things. And it's not easy. Sue and I are a team. That's why we are what we are, who we are, and the way we are. We're a team. It ain't, we're going to stick together till your drawers fall off, baby. I'm with you down the road to hell. No, no, no. As long as you're moving forward, we're a team. As long as you're moving forward, we're a team. I think before Sue and I can be a team, God and I have to be a team. And God and her have to be a team. Same God. Same God. That's the miraculous, mystic thing about it is that God can serve all of us with all our bent fenders. And he loves us as a group. And he loves us just the way we are. With all our bent fenders. He loves us because of what we do and the commitment we have. And we don't water it down. But he will not do for us what we're supposed to do for ourselves. And the most important thing that you can hear this weekend, you can see this weekend, Don't stand around and judge the shit out of people. Go up to them and tell them, I don't like what's going on. Confront it. You're a group. Don't sit around and wait for Sue and I to go confront it or fix the problem. If you don't like it and you want to say something about it, go to the problem. If you have the knowledge, you have the requirement. It is not all a sponsor's responsibility to run your life with all the little areas any more than it is for us or a group to raise your goddamn kids. Raise your own kids. Be a parent. Be a parent. You have these kids. You wanted these kids. Now parent them. The good news is, if you're willing to do that, God will help you raise your children. There's a lot of people sitting in this room right here who have children that they're not raising. Well, let me tell you, maybe she has them today at age 13 or 12. But Reuben will tell you there will be a day when that little sucker is going to knock on the front door. So you better be prepared. Be prepared for those things. Be strong. Be strong. Yesterday when Andy was talking about fight, you know, Andy wanted to do something with a group. He's in Las Vegas, and he's been able to drive back and forth, and he wanted to come over here for something. And I told him, no, you have a responsibility there. You have a wife there. You have a job there. You've been coming back and forth all the time. What you need to do is stay in Las Vegas. Because what we're doing over here, we can take care of. We don't need your help. And he got angry about it. And like he said, got mad, and he wrote, and this and that and the other. And he got through it. What he was saying was, is that when Matt, I had to tell Matt, don't come up here this weekend. Your girlfriend's over there. You got a life over there. You got a job over there. You got things going on over there. And you're, there's a pull in that direction. Stay over there. That's where your life is. Matt didn't get mad. When Dan Curry couldn't come up here this weekend because his ex dropped Caitlin on him and da-da-da-da-da-da, Dan didn't get mad because he couldn't be here. This is his birthday time. He didn't get mad because he couldn't be here. What's more, Honus and the Barstow group aren't here. See, they take them away. When the leader don't care, neither do the rest of them. That's what he was talking about. He didn't say names, but I will. You better understand what's happening. Better understand, there better be a fight. When you need something, when you're holding on to something, when something is helping your sobriety, holding on to your sobriety, and there's a pull, you better have a fight. You better be able to stand up to it. You better be able to fight against it. You better be able to hold your mud. You better be able to stand tall. And you better go to God with it. Because if you sell out to a doctor or a pharmacy or some kind of a shrink head or somebody like that, you're gone. You're a floating balloon. And I can say that in this group because I know what this group needs. I know what this group functions on. I know what this group's requirement is. I know how important, because of the trials and the tribulations and the responsibilities and what we've created for ourselves and got clean and sober and sane, and all of a sudden we have responsibilities, I'll tell you what is absolutely necessary. Abstinence. Abstinence. Like Chip said, his group doesn't have the discipline we have here. Well, let me tell you something. The reason we have the discipline here with the ladies and the men of two groups is abstinence. Abstinence. Nothing. And if you need more than that, you need to go somewhere else. Because abstinence is the bottom line here. We can't function up if we can't take the third step. if any kind of a narcotic, any kind of a pill is your higher power, then you can't function here. You will flounder every day. You will flounder. You will flounder like a loose balloon. It's so important. It's so important. It's so important. Because we're that sick. Because we're that sick. God loves us because we're that sick. He does. He will. But we have one job, and our job is to stay abstinent from any kind of a drug or alcohol or any other kind of a mind-altering chemical that alters our perception of the answer. We cannot alter our perception. Our focus changes and our life changes. Watch your thoughts, because your thoughts become actions. Watch your actions, because your actions become habit. Watch your habit, because your habits become your destiny. God bless and thank you.